So I think we going in the right direction, especially I love how we're so young. And those guys want it from them too. LA, we still got Red coming back. I think we'll have, you know, one of the better offenses this year.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, Cam Ward, over the weekend, was at Fanatics Fest in New York City, which is apparently a much bigger event than I ever realized before this year. He was on the Debo and Joe show. That's James Harrison and Joe Hayden's podcast live on the stage. Just played a clip from it there. We're going to play a lot of clips from that interview today on this episode. Talk about what Cam Ward revealed about where he wants to be better, the relationship he's developing with his receivers, and why he thinks the Titans can have one of the better offenses in the league this year. I watched the whole 45-minute interview, so you don't have to. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. In true Cam Ward fashion, this was a good interview, good conversation with Joe Hayden and James Harrison. And again, Cam's going to be Cam, right? High expectations for himself, high expectations for this offense, the new receivers coming in, Brian Daboll as his offensive coordinator. As you said, about 20 minutes of this interview will get this Titans fan base really, really hyped up for what's to come at training camp here in a couple days.
Yeah, I will just say before we dive into it, like, please feel free to go watch the interview. Be ready to fast forward through some of the questions and answers because, look, no disrespect to James Harrison and Joe Hayden. These guys are football players. They're not the best interviewers. You know, the questions tend to like go around in a circle and take a long time to actually get out of their mouth and over to the guest that they're interviewing. But hey, I'm not here to critique them. I'm here to tell you guys that there are some stuff in here where Cam goes into pure press conference mode. He's not giving you anything, but they also are able to loosen him up a bit, and we got some good stuff too. So I'm going to play the good stuff. I got six more clips to play from that interview, and they are pretty juicy. So why don't we dive right into it, Justin? Talking about Cam Ward, what he said with regards to where he wants to be better this season, this was Cam Ward's answer.
Really playing at a high process level. Getting through progressions faster than what I did in college and my first year in NFL. I think I'm in a system now that's going to utilize me, you know, my talents with us hiring Daboll. And I think just they're surrounding me with, you know, better guys and better weapons. We're all improving. I've had my bad plays from last season. There's guys around me who didn't play as good as they needed to. And I think that was the biggest thing for us was control this offseason, control what we can control personally. To, you know, when we come together during training camp, you know, we put the pieces to the puzzle together and, you know, we're not looking in the past, we're worried about the future.
So it's interesting there. I mean, he's calling out people a little bit. Like, he knows he didn't have the best roster around him last year. So he does take accountability as well. I've had my bad plays, but the guys around me also had some bad plays. They've put better players around me this year. But the key thing for me was processing quicker, which we know he wants to be better at and needs to be better at, and that Daboll's going to put him in a system that really takes advantage of his talents. We said that last year about Brian Callahan. We didn't really see it come to fruition. Is this year going to be different, Justin, or is this just typical offseason hype?
I guess the number one comment that comes to mind for me when I see that clip is, and who am I to disagree, but I don't know that Cam Ward didn't process well last year. I felt processing and going through progressions were fine. There's always room for improvement, especially when you're a rookie quarterback. I think the big thing for me isn't processing it. It's a willingness to take it, right? I think a lot of times, as we know, bit of a gunslinger, has a tendency to go big play hunting. I think he saw the check down just fine at times last year. I think the willingness to take it when he wants to move on and look for something that's 15, 20 yards down the field, I think that's what he's got to rein in this year. And of course, you and I have talked a lot about the footwork and the mechanics, which he addressed on quarterback at one point. We alluded to on yesterday's show when we reviewed quarterback on Netflix. I think he processes, again, can get better, But I really just think that the taking the check down, the willingness to take it, live to fight another down, take that 3, 4, 5 yards instead of looking for 15, 20, getting yourself in trouble. That's one of the things I want to see him do a better job of this year.
Yeah, and I think some of that is situational football as well, like knowing when it's first and second down. And I'm going to get to an answer, a pretty good answer about situational football he gave here in a second. But I also wanted to say he did expand on this point a little bit, but it was in a muddy answer, so I didn't clip it because there was a lot of other stuff he was talking about there. But talking about it, when he's under pressure, eliminating reads faster is actually what he said specifically processing he wanted to do better. Is just like, know that if like right on the snap, your first read's not there, get off of it. Don't stay there hoping it pops open or because that's the way the play was designed. So he did mention that as well. And I agree with you, but I also think that that's something that right. if that's internalized for him as something he needs to be better at, I think that's a pretty good observation on his part and or the coaching staff's.
When you take a league-high 55 sacks, right, no quarterback was sacked more than he was last year, then, yeah, I think that's a great point, right? Of course, the offensive line has to be better, and that's probably partially what he alluded to when he said guys around me have to be better. But I certainly think some of those sacks, you know, maybe you go back and dissect all 55 of them, maybe coming off a read a little quicker, you know, might be able to get you to eliminate some of those.
Exactly. He also talked about what this year's system is going to do for him and for the offense with the shorter play calls. Basically, he's talking about the fact that he's learned two different systems already in 2 years is going to be a benefit for him when it comes to reading defenses. The question was actually about like processing pre-snap and post-snap disguises and coverages, and this is how he decided to answer that question.
And I got a chance. For both years now, I'm learning two different systems. Last year, it was a real wordy system. This year, we've shortened everything down on both sides of the ball. There's still long play calls, but as the whole system is, it's not as long. And so we're able to get out the huddle faster. I can look up at the defense with 25 seconds left on the shot clock, and I can check to any play. So I got pretty much all the time in the world. And for me and the receivers, it allows us to take more of the film that we watch and apply, because now we're not getting up there and just snapping the ball. We can get up there and see everything, see what type of disguises they get to, see the blitz packages from my standpoint, what protections I need to get to. And I think just having us bringing in Dable in this 5-6 months that I've been with him, he's taught me so much, you know, that I wish I knew last year. And so, you know, that's why I'm excited to, you know, continue to grow with him, continue to grow with this team, you know, try to win some more games this year.
Part of this answer makes me a little angry, Justin, just retrospectively angry that Brian Dable has taught him things in the last 5 or 6 months that he wishes he knew last year. Brian Callahan and staff, that was your job to teach him those things that he wished he knew last year. But Justin, the big takeaway here is something that it was sort of buzzed a little bit about during rookie camp and mini camp and offseason OTAs and all that, which is that the Titans want to play fast. And now that's not necessarily snapping the ball with a lot of time left on the play clock. It's getting out of the huddle and getting to the line of scrimmage fast, as Cam just said, so that he can really dissect the defense, so that he and his receivers can identify a defensive formation and maybe have an understanding of what's about to happen and how they need to adjust their routes, or getting on the same page before the snap so that there's less communication and less, you know, reliance on reading it the same way after the snap. This is going to be a big improvement for this offense. There was a clip from quarterback, I think it was early in the season, where Cam is yelling at the sideline, get the play in faster, get it in faster, because he needs time to get to the line of scrimmage and actually assess what he's looking at. Dable's system, if nothing else, is going to at least allow him to do that.
I'm always a fan of simplifying the verbiage, shortening play calls, allowing guys to play fast. They don't have to think too much. Like he said, put him in a situation where when he's getting up to the line of scrimmage, there's 20, 25 seconds left on the play clock. You can't tell me that's not valuable. The more time you have to assess the defense, check in or out of something, you know, these longer play calls, you get to the line 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds left. It's go, 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 right? It's avoiding penalties. It's taking bad timeouts, which they did a number of times last year because they had to, because they weren't getting stuff communicated in a timely fashion. So I'm always a big fan of putting your quarterback in the most comfortable situation imaginable.
Yeah, it seems like Dable's going to be a big help with that. Justin, we got to take our first break here. When we come back, what Dable has helped Cam Ward with the most? This may be the most important answer he gave in the whole interview. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everybody. All right, continuing with this interview, Cam Ward said a lot of interesting stuff. I clipped most of it. I'll tell you some of the other stuff he said that maybe not quite as interesting. But Justin, this to me might have been the most interesting. He was asked where Dable has really helped him the most, and especially what this system's going to help him with. But what he's learned from Dable, I mean, he mentioned there were things he wish he knew last season. This isn't all that, but I think maybe some of this answer relates to what he said he wish he knew last year.
He's everything. I think the best thing about him that he allows the quarterback to have his input on the offense, whether that's week to week or the whole playbook. And the first thing that, you know, I had a great relationship with him during the pre-draft process last year when I was coming out. But the first thing, as soon as we hired him, it was, what do you want to run? Everything I wanted to do, he didn't talk about what he did with Josh, with Jackson last year, with other quarterbacks he has. It was, what did I want to do?
I love that.
And so he listened to the quarterback. He sees it from my perspective when the bullets are actually flying and where my mind goes to during the play and how I get through the read versus coverage. He's really helped me be more of a situational football player. And I think that's going to help me down the road because, you know, I don't have to think big play on first and second down. Really, I just got to be prepared for one down. That's third down. And to me, that's how he explained, that's where quarterback gets played on third down. Whether it's third and short, medium, or long, you got to come with it, and then you got to be good in two-minute drill and red zone. And if you do those three things right as a quarterback, you end up being one of the best in the league.
That's almost exactly what you were saying earlier, Justin, that he's got to be better on first and second down and not, you know, go for it all on those plays when you don't have to. Be smarter about situations. Don't take bad sacks when you're in field goal range, back to our conversation from yesterday. So I think that this is great. I mean, Dable helping him with situational football, that's what a coach is supposed to do, and you love to hear that it's happening.
Best quarterbacks, best offenses in the NFL stay ahead of the sticks. Titans did not do that at all last year. It felt like constantly 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, whether it was bad play calls, bad execution, taking bad sacks, whatever it was, it felt like they lived in third and long. And that's there's not a single NFL offense that could succeed. I don't care if it's Mahomes, Josh Allen, no one succeeds or lives by living on third and long. So that's important. But that almost felt like two different answers, two different questions to me, because the first part of that, look, we know he's a quarterback who loves having input on the playbook, right? Like, we had these conversations last offseason and all, and we're saying, they got to get switch verts into the playbook and four verts and all these different, you know, concepts that he liked running at Miami. Certainly sounds like Brian Dable's giving him the freedom, to have some of that leeway. And rightfully so, because, again, he's that type of quarterback. Going back to the pre-draft thing, we know how much the Giants tried to trade up for that number one overall pick. We know how much Brian Dable was infatuated with Cam Ward, I'd go as far to say, throughout the pre-draft process. So to me, that's one of the big reasons why I'm so excited and have so much confidence in this hire and this partnership, is that as a coach, you know who you want to coach, and Brian Dable wanted to coach Cam Ward.
Yeah, totally. And you can kind of feel it in the relationship that's developing between the two of them. Switching gears a little bit here, Justin, I'm going to play another answer. This one, I really appreciated just the insight that we got. It's not like that important, I guess, and it doesn't really affect what's going to happen this season, but it's just like behind the scenes of what Ward goes through on a weekly basis to take care of his body. And I have a complaint as well, back to quarterback not showing enough of Cam Ward and focusing on all the other quarterbacks that they had to, I guess, spare time for. We didn't see any of this on quarterback. I'm going to play this answer and you're going to be like, that is a really intense, rigorous weekly process he goes through to take care of his body. We saw Baker Mayfield doing it a lot. We even saw Jaden Daniels doing it. Well, Jaden Daniels was rehabbing. We saw Flacco making sure, you know, at his old age that he keeps his body right. It was Baker, though, was the spotlight of this on quarterback. Listen to how much Cam Ward does on a Sunday through Monday. This is, they specifically asked him, give us your Sunday through Monday specific to what you do to take care of your body. This is what he had to say.
Sunday after the game, I really just go home. Then Monday and Tuesday, I'd be in a training room, whether that's massages or whatever, I'm hurt. Wednesday, it's really shockwave, really, whether it's shockwave, needles, massage, any type of you know, body work, wherever I'm hurting at. Like, as far as my arm, I get that worked on really every time after I throw, so that's really 5 to 7 days a week from my arm. Then a lot of it is like prehab stuff, whether it's Pilates on a total body board, which is like resistance, a lot of ankle mobility stuff. I have my own guy who flies down to,
that's what I was going to ask,
to come do body work on me.
That you have that takes care of your body certain days?
Yep, I do. But he's based in Houston. So like during the season, this year I probably only see him maybe 2 times, but we have good trainers in Tennessee who they talk back and forth with him of what I continuously need to get stronger and what I need to do to maintain everything. Then I say the biggest thing that's helped me stay durable is a lot of bands, whether that's legs. I always do it for my arms, but I think that's helped me. I didn't really start doing, you know, Pilates this year, and you know, I felt a big difference just because it's more core based focused, but it's as far as just like toning and
I mean, you, I would do say a lot of core,
less fatigue with it. It helps me. But you know, a lot of my guys in the locker room, they're big on cold tubs and stuff like that. I do it every so often. But for me, I'm more old school. So, you know, like if I'm good, I'm good. I know when I'm hurt. I know when I need body work. But I say that's one thing I've really honed in on from, especially college, end of my college career to now, is getting that done. Minimum got to be at least 4 times a week.
Sorry, long answer there, but really insightful stuff. So I let the whole thing play out. I love that he has, this is a thing that you always have to transition when you're going from college to the NFL, when you're in your late teens, early 20s to more mid 20s and your body starts getting older, things start hurting more. It sounds like he didn't do a whole lot of like taking care of his body in college, just relying on being young and recovering and popping back quickly. There was something he said on quarterback too, Justin, that made me a little worried about his ability to really take his body care seriously. It was a quick montage on quarterback. They're talking about all the hits a quarterback takes, and he said something like that type of pop a Tylenol and say F it, like I'm fine kind of thing. I'm just gonna take a Tylenol, I'll be fine. But this shows you the dedication he puts into the routine that is very important to take care of his body. He said minimum 4 times a week he's getting some kind of treatment.
Not only did we miss that on quarterback from his rookie season, but how about this offseason? I'm surprised you didn't mention where he's transformed his, what was he, like 10 pounds down or something like that? Like totally transformed his body, you know, improved his body fat percentage and all that index stuff that I clearly know nothing about. But no, sir, I mean, it's certainly curious to hear more about how he's gone about it this offseason, because we saw when he showed up to OTAs, you know, he looked considerably different. I thought he looked lighter. You could tell he underwent some transformation in the offseason. And good to hear that. Not only did he take it seriously last year, but it sounds like he's kind of taken it to another level, you know, based on how he's looking this year.
Yeah, said that he started incorporating Pilates earlier this year. So that's definitely like taking it more seriously even than he was last year. And he talked about, because they asked him about the weight loss too, and talked about the motivation behind that, because James Harrison was like, you would think that as a quarterback, maybe you want more like padding and muscle around you and not want to be slimmer because you do have to take all those hits. And Cam talked about how it's more about being explosive for him, that he's worked his legs and his core so much because he really wants to be more explosive. And he also talked about quarterback, Justin. Very briefly, they asked him what it was like. He said he didn't mind. He didn't hardly even notice having the cameras around. He liked doing it. And if they called him, he would do it again, which, please, let's make that happen at some point for our sake, Titans fans' sake. But also talked about how he agreed with us, not that he knew what we think, but agreed with us that a lot of stuff, we didn't get to see a lot of stuff. And he said that that's because of the way that he is on the field. They didn't show everything. And I have to assume that has to do with like trash talking or breaking iPads or whatever else. So there were some other things he said, Justin, that I wanted to run through quickly, but we can do that after the break. And I also have two more clips to play. His relationship with his receivers, which I thought was a great answer, and how excited, what his reaction was on draft night when the Carnell Tate pick was announced. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. All right, before we get to the last two clips I have, Justin, I'll tell you some other just rapid-fire stuff that Cam talked about during this appearance. He said that his hidden talent is bowling, that he thinks he averages about a 180 bowling and that his high score ever is 210 in that range. So interesting hidden talent there. Cam's also a bowler. Makes sense. He's a multi-sport athlete who can throw objects with precision. Makes sense that he could roll them with precision as well. He was asked what he likes to do in Nashville. He said that he either goes out to eat. That's what he likes to do in Nashville, is go out to eat. Or we know this about him. Yeah, we know this about him. He's a homebody. He likes to stay home, watch tape, and watch movies. And those, the only time that he leaves the house, really, is to go out to eat or to go to work or do like a charity event for work. So I thought that was funny. And it's exactly what you want your quarterback. You don't want your quarterback to be a party boy. You know, you want your quarterback to, just as a fan, you want your quarterback to be in the tape all the time and be what we know Cam Ward is, which is all about football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Not surprised to hear that one bit. I'm curious to get to this next clip, though, about the relationship with his receivers.
And so is our audience, I'm sure. Let me finish out this rapid-fire section real quick. Some of the fun, dumb stuff, the goofy stuff we don't really care as much about, but he was asked his Mount Rushmore for the NBA and his Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. His Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks informs us a little bit about the way his mind works and the way he wants to play football. His Mount Rushmore of the NBA is like pure trolling. His NBA Mount Rushmore was Kobe, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, and KD. No LeBron. He does not have LeBron James on his NBA Mount Rushmore. And he kind of said it's because that he grew up watching a lot of NBA. Obviously now, like older in life, he's focused on his job full time and he doesn't have as much time to dedicate. So he just said LeBron was never really one of my favorite players. So these are like my four favorite players of all time. We know he loves Kobe Bryant.
LeBron's been around forever, though. It's not like he was.
I know.
His 23rd, whatever, what's LeBron in? His 20-something season? Like, Cam Ward was a baby when LeBron first started playing.
It's pretty funny to think that LeBron is not on his Mount Rushmore of NBA players. But his Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks was Tom Brady, obviously Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Michael Vick. Now, Tom Brady has to be everybody's GOAT. Of course, if you don't list Tom Brady as on your Mount Rushmore, then you're not a serious person. Aaron Rodgers, talent-wise, I would say, is, you know, belongs in the conversation. And stylistically, a lot of similarities to Cam Ward, the, you know, upper half of the body, arm angles, and things like that.
Same with Brett Favre, to be honest with you. I think stylistically, right, Favre didn't mind throwing a pick here and there, right? The gunslinger always looking for the big play mentality. Like,
there's a reason there's a reason I was going to mention Favre third here. I wanted to get those obvious two out of the way, but Favre is a real eye opener on the gunslinger mentality. And I think the parallels are obvious, and as you just named them. And the fourth one being Michael Vick. Not as many parallels, maybe, but maybe tell you a little something about how Cam Ward wants to play. We saw it over the second half of the season.
Maybe he wishes did it at Miami. Play. I don't know about that.
Not to the level of Michael Vick, of course, but just, you know, using his legs a little bit more, being a little bit more of a threat on the ground. I think it could inform a little bit of how Cam's going to be more effective with his legs this year. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe he just really liked watching Michael Vick. Last two things really quick. Said he wants to be the best quarterback in the league. He said he wants it to be where, you know, you turn on his tape and people just say, that's what great quarterbacking is. He wants to get there. He believes he can get there. And, you know, it'd be great for Titans fans if he does. But if he never reaches that peak, there's still, he could still go on to have a great career. And that's all we hope for as Titans fans. All right, let's get to the receiver stuff, Justin, because it is very interesting. This is just this is another longish answer, but about the relationship he has with the receivers, how often he sees them, what they've been doing together this offseason. Take a listen to this one. It's really good.
Really just doing everything together. Mm-hmm. We obviously going to throw all day, every day. I run them receivers to the ground. Like, every route they run and every route full speed. And mm-hmm. I'll make them run 10 daggers on one side, you finna run 10 daggers on the other side. Mm-hmm. And then it's a mix of, we're doing about maybe 5 routes, but we're going to protect those 5. We're going to perfect them that day. Then the next day, we'll get to some different routes. But it's all about getting timing. It's not about just going out there running lots of different routes, because at the end of the day, you're not getting timing. The covers change, the angles change, depending on how the DB plays. Mm-hmm. And then we spend a lot of time together in Tennessee. They always come to my house. They know the code. Just walk in. As long as my dog cool with you, you good. I mean, we go out to dinners with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think what I really love about it is that when we're on the road, because it's just us, you know, we got to do everything together. So, you know, get a chance to meet their families. I would say that's the biggest thing from college to NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of guys have more families, so, you know, they're away from the building more. Yeah. But while we're in the building, you know, especially when we have the time away from everybody, we go to dinners, you know, chill, watch games, watch fights together. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's fun. You know, I for sure enjoy it.
You hear it all the time in sports that the camaraderie is such an important aspect to being on a winning team, is that guys want to not just play for themselves or for their next contract or for their, you know, individual accolades. They want to play for the guy standing next to them. And James Harrison responded to this answer by saying something like, that's rare. That's rare. And it's great that you guys have that, because you won't find that in every NFL locker room. And the fact that all these guys are young and have the ability to grow together in this league, on this team, in this offense, the fact that they have a budding relationship off the field as well, it can only help their on-field chemistry. So, like, you hope that this is the case. It's amazing to hear Cam Ward confirm, indeed, this is the case. We're all pretty much best friends.
He's that type of quarterback, and he's going to demand it. You know, he's going to demand that he has that type of relationship with his pass catchers. I don't think he mentioned it there, but we just got a YouTube upload from him, right? Like a week ago or 2 weeks ago out of nowhere, with him throwing the ball to, I think, a couple receivers, Tate, Robinson, a couple others. So it's pretty obvious that he's always going to organize these things, get these guys together in the offseason. So make sure, you know, rookie wide receiver, new offensive coordinator for him, second system is a sophomore quarterback. It's important that he stays on top of these things, or else you want to do all you can to avoid the slow start, right? Which I think a lot of us, unfortunately, would somewhat understand due to all the newness around him. But, you know, he's putting the work in to try to avoid it.
Yeah, and maybe to avoid having those OTA practice styles days in training camp coming up, where the media is just talking about how much he's struggling. Well, you go put the work in during this summertime, you come to training camp ready to go. Maybe we'll avoid some of those. Finally, Justin, the last clip we have here, Cam's reaction when Carnell Tate was drafted.
That's the best pick of the draft right there.
Come
man.
On,
when,
man.
When he got picked, I'm just sitting in the living room. He on the clock. I said, go get him. And man, let me tell you something. When he called that name, I just started smiling.
Yes.
I mean, and that guy, he was the one true receiver. Mm-hmm. When I watched all the college guys, that he's consistent. Like, you know, he plays some, like I played in college, we played some bad defenses, but he's doing the same thing. When he went against the top defenses, he's doing mm-hmm. the same thing. So he has natural hands. He's a natural route runner. Mm-hmm. He's real good at contested catches. And that's a lot of what the NFL is going to be, contested catches.
Yeah.
He's an explosive player. He's a great locker room guy already. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for him. And I really do think he's in a good situation with Dable. He's going to give him plays to open up his route running, mm-hmm. To let everybody know what receiver he really is. And I'm excited for him to have a big year.
Now, there's two parts to this answer, just like there's been for a lot of these so far. Obviously, he was super excited to get this premier, the best receiver in the draft, you know, consensus, even if, whatever, we don't have to rehash this, even if he doesn't have as high of a ceiling and maybe never is a true number one, definitely the highest floor and, you know, most pro-ready receiver in the draft class is Cam Ward's now top weapon, and that excited him. But then also the end of this response is what's really standing out to me, and we've talked about it a little bit. Because we've been kind of speculating, is Carnell Tate going to have, you know, a featured style like Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, target hog role in this offense? And Cam's not giving anything away, but it's almost like he wants to. He almost wants to say, like, you guys just wait and see for what we have planned for Carnell Tate, what Dable has planned for him, because he is going to be a featured part of this offense. And you can glean that, I think, from this response.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm lighting up. I think you saw Cam light up a little bit there. Wait till you see what Dable has for him. Route running, open up his route running. Just, I do think, like you and I have said this offseason, I think there's a great chance that Carnell Tate is the primary read on the majority of dropbacks. Now, we know they'll have manufactured stuff. They'll have different things for different players. But all said and done, who is the primary read on most passing plays? I think there's a decent chance it's Carnell Tate. Now, we expect Wandale Robinson to be the leader in terms of volume, in terms of targets and whatnot, just because of how reliable he is. He's a vet. He knows the system, all that stuff. But when it comes to the big play, the true number one receiver on the outside, the guy they look to when they need a play, I think there's a great chance it's going to be Carnell Tate, and I'm so excited for his rookie season. He's giving out free jerseys in Nashville soon, by the way. What a great tweet by Carnell Tate. They ordered a bunch of jerseys in all sizes, and he's going to drop a link where you can go get your free Carnell Tate jersey. You and me might have to fly over there to get one. I think that would be well worth it.
Yeah, that would be worth it. And I totally agree with everything you said. Cam also did mention Wandale Robinson, talked about, he said, the guy I'm really excited for though is Wandale Robinson, because what he can do, he can go, was Cam's exact phrasing. And that, Justin, to take this conversation full circle, is what led into the answer we played at the very top. He talks about how excited he was to get Carnell Tate. Next answer is he's also really excited about Wandale Robinson. And then if you remember the clip I played at the top, he basically mentions all the other receivers, still got Chim, Elik, and Ridd in the room. And I think because of that, we're going to be one of the best offenses. So he's crediting that claim to the upgraded weapons around him, the upgraded play caller around him, and his own personal growth heading into year two, being accountable for the things he needs to be accountable for, controlling what he can control, and he really believes he's going to go out and the Titans are going to have one of the best offenses in the league. Now, he said that in the offseason last year, but that was without any kind of frame of reference or context for what it takes to be one of the best offenses in the NFL. Now he has a year under his belt, and he believes the changes they've made this year are going to help the Titans be one of the better offenses. So for now, Justin, I'm cautiously optimistically going to take him at his word on this. But we also have to wait and see how the season plays out, because I felt cautiously optimistic last year and that led to nothing but heartbreak.
Sky's the limit. I'm going with that for Cam Ward in his sophomore season, Tennessee Titans in 2026. Can't wait to watch him grow and blossom in this Brian Dable coached offense. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with a super special episode. Yes, that's right. We teased it earlier this week. Uniform expert, uniform insider, Zach Cohen, who you might remember from our last uniform episode when we nailed the Titans redesign, the branding, the logo, the color scheme, the jerseys. He's coming back on the show tomorrow to talk about the hints that he's compiled and what we've gathered about the Titans rivalry jersey reveal that will be coming later this summer, probably sometime in August. We're probably a couple weeks away from this thing.
Maybe
Zach Cohen, it's not going to be in September, I don't think, right? Like, they're going to reveal it before the season.
I'm not going to spoil the next episode, but I would say closer to a month than a couple of weeks. Maybe five weeks away.
Listen, I know how to tease the audience. You don't. 4 weeks is still weeks, damn it. So a couple weeks away. Zach Cohen.
A couple is two.
We are a couple to various weeks away from the rivalry jersey reveal. Zach Cohen coming on the show tomorrow to talk about it. Color schemes, hints, all those good breadcrumbs. We are maybe mere days away from, okay, until tomorrow. We are literally 24 hours away from the episode. Maybe we can say that Until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.